Welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, Ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Give honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel, because he knows she is a joint heir. Now, if you've ever been in a position where you were journeyman to apprentice, it's sort of kind of like that. You basically do everything you can to make her successful, which does you good because you're helping somebody else. And as men, we're so laser-focused, sometimes we forget about the people around us. That's why it's nice to have a wife to remind us of the kids and the grandkids or whatever, but it's also true that we forget about our wife. Somebody said, did you tell your wife you loved her lately? I told her when I married her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. Wait a minute. No. See, this is kind of a joke because it happens. And so we need to give honor because we know they're heirs together of the grace of life, and we need them. We need them. We need them desperately to help us pull off this job of what? Of showing forth the praises of him who has called us. We need her to help us do that because she could be a detriment to that. She could be a detriment to that. Because she has to come along. And if you're barking at your wife and kicking the dog, you're going to diminish her ability to fly, to take wings, to be enthusiastic about the whole thing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone when he falls. The other side of that is that if one prevails against him, two shall withstand him. This world is desperately wicked. It is evil. It is arrayed against the righteous. It is set to mess you up. And that's why we need our wives. We need them because they are our helpers. We need them because the encouragement that they give, the confirmation, the words of affirmation. He goes on, he says, do this because you're heirs of the grace of life together. That means you've inherited it already. You both have it. But also it says that your prayers be not hindered. And I refer you back to the bulletin, which I thought was very cool that it was in there for us today because it's the man walking. And it says that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the Bible says if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So if you're kicking the dog and barking at the wife, you're hurting yourself, okay? You're not nourishing and cherishing yourself or your wife, and you're basically not going to be praying because you know the first thing God's going to want to talk about. God's going to want to talk about cheating your wife, you know? How are you doing that at work, David? First thing God wants to do, I'm not going to talk to God right now. I know what he wants to talk about. I just don't want to talk about that. But you need to. You need to dwell with your wives according to knowledge because if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. What are you going to pray about? The Bible says in 1 Peter in chapter 4, verse 7, just one page over, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So prayer is a big part of Peter's admonition to these people. And what we would pray about, perhaps, is first of all, your children. You want them all saved. You want them all walking with the Lord. You want them all having a biblical worldview. You want them to have that because the world's kind of lean out there. Once they get out away from you, they're not going to hear it much, okay? I mean, you just take a note of how many times you've ever had somebody give you a tract personally. It's not happening. And the New Testament church went everywhere preaching the gospel. So we're a long way down the road from that, aren't we? Let's be honest. So we need to let them know how it works by being to them what they need us to be. And you need to pray that you can be that for them and pray that God would keep them from the evil one. Souls, pray for souls. That you might show forth the praises of him. That a rumor might be created. Remember, what glory is it if you do evil and you suffer for it? But if you do well and suffer for it, that is grace. He says, that's what I want a rumor of goodness stirred up in you. You can pray for your health. Because frankly, when we're eaten up, we lose our health. We lose our joy. We lose our shine. And glory. Pray for the glory of God. Paul says, you know, pray for me that the Word of God will have free course. And then I'll be able to stand in things that he would say, pray for me for, and pray for grace for yourself. So you got things to pray about right out of this book alone, right? Jeremiah 29, verse 10 through 13, the Bible says, "Thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, Israel, and perform my good word toward you, causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and you will find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." What had to happen before that place was arrived at? It was upheaval, it was trial, it was difficulty. And that's when it came in. The Bible tells us that our prayers can be hindered by regarding sin or by having sin. But also, you may recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a man indeed ought not to, you know, pray covering his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. So we got some gender issues here being straightened out for us, basically. This is what I wanted you to see. It says, "For this cause, the woman ought to have power on her head because of the angels." And it occurred to me when I'm studying this that your prayers might be hindered because, and you won't have power on your head. The wife who is submitted to her husband in a way that is biblically sound, and it's not oppressive, it's colonel to general, it's not general to private. Okay, let's get that straight. We take each other's advice. There's things she knows I don't know. There's things I know she doesn't know. But in the, you know, brass tacks of it all, God said, here's how it's going to be. And if there has to be a knocking of heads in some way, it's always, okay, we got to just do this. And then many times a guy will go with the gal's idea too because he's not real sure about his own. But the point is that you've already made up your mind, we're going to have a one-headed home. Anything with two heads is a monster. Okay, you can't have that. But this says that that there were women who were throwing off their veils and they were making their husband embarrassed because that's what the harlots did in that society. It's a principle that's being set forth. But when you do what is honoring to your husband, respectful to your husband, then you'll have power on your head. And you want power on your head because of the angels, and when you pray, your prayers will be answered. That's my point. I'm trying to get you there. My wife was away visiting in Pennsylvania this past week, and it occurred to me that when I prayed for her, that I just wanted to make sure my list was... Because I wanted my list cleared up so that I could just, you know, Lord, keep her safe. I want power. I want the angels to go over there and help her out, don't you? When you're talking about your loved one, when they're far away from you, they're 500 miles away from you, they're in between here and there, and there could any creep could start following them, you know, in a car and say, oh, there's some lady alone. You realize how dangerous it is. So that your prayers be not hindered. The word finally in verse 8 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, and be pitiful and courteous." Scholars are split on whether this is talking back to the whole group or it's talking to individuals. I believe it's still talking to the husband and the wife, and I'll tell you why. First of all, the word finally in this translation is actually only used here. Usually it's the end, it's telos. It means the ultimate thing. So you could actually start this verse by saying, ultimately what I'm saying to you is I want you to have one mind. Ultimately, have one mind. The word is homophrone, and friend is the second half of that. First means the same, but friend, it means a midriff, it means a gut. You know how you feel terrible in your gut when your conscience is blowing up or, you know, something like that, or you just don't know, and it's how you can kind of figure out whether you have the peace of God, maybe because your gut, you just don't have a good gut feeling about whatever. He uses that word at the beginning, and he uses it at the end of the verse. The word courteous is the word philophrone, which means loving gut toward your wife. But it says one mind, so you have one midriff. Together, you guys are together on this. We are joint heirs. We are co-laborers, co-workers. You need to be on the same page with each other. You need to have sympathy. Sounds right. Sympathy. That's what it means. Compassion. Having compassion. Having sympathy. He's struggling. Well, she's struggling too. Let's all have sympathy for one another, okay? It's hard down here. Love as brethren. Why would he say as brethren instead of love the brethren? Because he says, just be fond of each other. Recognize you guys are in the same family. The idea of born of blood and of the same womb. And that's the idea of Delphos or Philadelphia. That's the word here. Delphos means of the womb. You were born by Jesus together. And you need to love as brethren. Fondness is the word, courteous. And so when you see that, ultimately, I believe you're looking at him continuing the narrative. And he also continues it in verse 9 by saying, not rendering evil for evil. Now, the interesting thing about the word evil is it's obviously the word that has the idea of intrinsically worthless. Okay? If you're getting in an argument and they say something to you, it's really not helping to say something mean back just because you can. Okay? Frankly, you know each other better than anybody, so you could really come up with some doozies probably. You know, remember when. Railing for railing, and that word literally has the idea of speaking harsh and bitter words to them. And people have said things that have hurt so bad that they don't know how to even recover from it. And they limp along for quite some time. It says, do this. Why and how? What's my motivation? It says, don't render railing for railing, but contrary, render unto them blessing. Eulogia. Think about that. Are you going to eulogize your mate when you're fighting? It's not easy, but you got a word. Okay, maybe what I need to do is say, what do you got to say about this? Do you know what, honey? I know you just love people. I know you mean well. I know, you know, just go there instead of, you know, back. Because Jesus didn't curse back and so forth. It says at the end of chapter 2, he didn't curse back in one sense. I don't want to go look for the exact words, but you know what I'm saying. Verse 9 says this, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Inheritance, the idea of being heirs together. The idea is there. What's your inheritance? You're called to inherit a good word. What's the greatest word you're ever going to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Understand, that well done is what you're after. You say, well, I haven't done much. Well, maybe you're not saved. But if you're saved, and you truly do are born again, and you know that, and you know you're born again, you've already done the work of God. What do we need to do the works of God? This is the work of God. Did you believe on Him whom He sent? And guess what? If you really believe on Him whom you sent, whom God sent, you're going to behave differently. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So just don't get in there and say, well, I prayed a prayer. That may not be it. If it's never changed your life, where is it in the continuum between that 18 inches between brain and heart? Because I'm telling you, it changes you when you believe something. And the Bible even says that in Romans 10, 9 and 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says you're called to inherit a good well done. So basically you're just treating them so they will remember. And what I want you to do is in your mind's eye as you ponder these thoughts with me, I want you to remember that we are called to be people of the book. It's what they were always called, people of the book. We're called to be people who reflect the Lord Jesus' holiness, like the wife was called. Well, hey, listen, what are you trying to get him to remember? That he was called to be holy too. That we are living in a day that is trying to do everything it can do to unseat us, unman us, take our courage. You know, discourage is decourage. When you think of the word discourage, it's literally meaning they're taking your courage away. You don't want to discourage your husband. You want a pit bull, okay? And you can handle that pit bull, the whole Beauty and the Beast thing. Man, he's a beast. And I want you to realize that your prayers are what God's after. So when you look at that front page of your bulletin, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, hopefully it'll take on new meaning because now you know what to pray for. You need to pray for your kids. You need to pray for your grace to be shown to the world. You need to pray for your wife. You need to pray for health. You need to pray for the glory of Jesus to be seen. And as we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.